Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here, your love, your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the price you paid to purchase our salvation. Lord, may we ever be mindful of what you went through, what you paid. Lord, bless this service today, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless your word. I pray, Lord, that it will reach into the deep recesses of our heart. I pray, Lord, that your word will make changes in us. Open up heaven for us, Lord, please. Pour out your blessing on your people. Pour out your word. Pour out your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Question. In the days of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, actually it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, but in those days when the gospel was preached, what gospel did they use? They had what they heard directly from Jesus, but they had the only scriptures they had was the Old Testament, because of the others weren't written yet. You know, in 2001, I had the occasion, the privilege of teaching a class at a Bible college, Old Testament Survey. And at the end of it, I taught it for 1 year. And at the end of it, I gave them a final exam with 100 questions on it. And I remember thinking, if they get 20% right, they get an A. What I was trying to impress on them was just how much more there is, because there's a lot to the Bible. And I don't think I gave out any A's. But it was to encourage them to study more. But then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I missed an opportunity. A better way to do it probably would have been to have one question, an essay question, using only the Old Testament, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what they did in the book of Acts. So I've got a lot of scripture that I'm going to cover this morning. Not a whole lot of me, which is a good thing, I guess. It can be. Made this week a little bit easier, and I think I needed it. Exodus 12, 1 through 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. You notice something? Starts out with a lamb, then is the lamb, then it's your lamb. That's the way he works in us, isn't it? There's a lamb. He's the lamb. He's my lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The 10th day of the month, that's the day we observe Palm Sunday on. That's the day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's the day they picked out the lamb that was going to be slain. The 14th, that was at the start of Passover. All the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You notice it says it, not plural. Each lamb, even though they may have had many lambs, but yet it's it, because it all points to the same Lamb of God, doesn't it? And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Forms a cross, doesn't it? We see the cross all the way through the Bible. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. Fire, among other things, represents judgment. That lamb was paying the penalty for our sins. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. Now the pertinence, that's a word we use all the time, isn't it? If you look it up in Strong's, it says middle. Or the bowels. The entrails. They would take it and they would wrap it around the head of the lamb and put it in the fire. And as the fire cooked that lamb, those entrails would scrunch up until they looked exactly like a crown of thorns. Does that sound familiar? When they cooked it, they had to take two pieces of wood and put it in the chest cavity, one going up and down, the other going across, to keep it from curling up so it would cook right. The shape of a cross. At the same time when Jesus was on the cross being crucified, the high priest was inspecting the lamb for the sacrifice, for the Passover sacrifice. It had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. It had to be without spot. It had to be, as I said, perfect. And after examining it, if it was perfect, the priest would hold his arms out like this and say, "Negmor." It means it is finished. Does that sound familiar? At the same time, Jesus on the cross was saying the same thing. Of course, he was speaking of a lot more being finished than what they did. I mentioned John the Baptist from John 1:29 saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold. In the Hebrew, that means it's not just a glance at. It's to see, to really look at it. In Greek, it means to look closely at and to be surprised or amazed. When we look to the Lamb of God, are we surprised? We should be. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that took away my sin. I didn't deserve that. But it's not about me, is it? It's about what he did. Amazed that he would do that for us. Anybody in here feel like they deserve to have that done for them? No, I didn't think so. Psalm 22, 1 through 21. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version instead of the King James. I don't have anything against the King James Version. I use it mostly. But I really like it's worded the way it's worded in the New King James Version. Psalm 22, 121. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusts in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something you might read in the New Testament? That was written 1,000 years before Jesus. David wrote that. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It starts out. Jesus said that on the cross. Was he voicing doubt? No, I believe he was pointing to this psalm saying, this is about me. Hebrew children were taught at an early age to recite psalms when there was trouble. Why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Why did God turn his back? Because he bore the sin of the world on him. My sin. God cannot look upon sin. He had to turn his back. And that probably made Jesus feel more lonely than he's ever felt in all his existence, because from eternity he had been one with the Father, and all of a sudden the Father wasn't there. I think that night in the garden where he sweated, prayed so hard and sweated so much that the drops of sweat became blood. I think he was thinking about this happening. He knew about the pain, but the abandonment, the rejection of the Father. And the Father had no choice but to do that. Genesis 22. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here or not, but I am. Genesis 22 talks about Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Take thou thy son, thy only son Isaac, who you love, and take him to a place I'll show you, and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. That's the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible. And what does it have to do with? A father that has to sacrifice his son. Is that fitting? Three days, you see that all throughout the Bible. It has to do with the revelation, it has to do with the resurrection, it has to do with God's purpose being fulfilled. Father, yes, son, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the lamb? I kind of smile when I read that, Because I can, he's starting to get suspicious, isn't he? There's something not quite right here. Where's the lamb? And the King James Version, who words it the best, Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Some translations say for himself, and that's okay, but he will provide himself a lamb. That tells me that ultimately he is the lamb. You know what really amazes me? And Isaac doesn't get a whole lot of credit. Everybody thinks he was kind of lackluster. He didn't really have the, he wasn't like Jacob. He wasn't like Abraham. He was just kind of in the middle there. But yet, he willingly allowed himself to be put on that altar. Just like Jesus did. Why? Because it was the Father's will. Says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He could have crawled down off that cross anytime he wanted. He could have called down 12 legions of angels. A legion is somewhere between 4 and 6,000. One angel can wipe out 185,000 people, and I added it up the other day, and it comes out to, at 5,000 for a legion, it comes out to 11.1 billion people. That would have taken care of all his problems, wouldn't it? But he didn't do that. He endured the cross. And we also have to remember that Isaac wasn't a little boy like some of the pictures show. Isaac was in his 30s, same age as Jesus. Abraham was 130-something. 130, 135, somewhere in there. If there had been a struggle, who would have won? Like I said, Isaac didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do that. And right after it records that, it talks about the bride that was prepared for Jacob, for Isaac, Rebecca, because of his obedience. Because of Jesus' obedience, the bride is prepared for him, isn't it? Us. He died the most excruciating death known to man. Isaiah 53. I'm actually going to start at Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, the end of Isaiah 52. I kind of refer to it as a preamble to Isaiah 53. Because it all connects. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich at his death. because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Who's that talking about? Some people say it's the nation of Israel. Israel didn't die for my sins. This is written by Isaiah, between 700 and 800 years before Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:8 refers to Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the beginning, before there was anything, it was determined what had to be. Before there was a problem, before there was a need, there was a solution. Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." That has been proven to be true, hasn't it? Today is Communion Sunday. You probably figured that out already, didn't you? Maybe it's the red shirt. I don't know. Or it could have been something behind me. Communion Sunday, we do this once a month. We don't do it every day. We don't do it every week. We don't do it once a year. Once a month. That way it's unique enough to where it's memorable. It's not an everyday occurrence. It's not common. And it's not once a year that we might forget to do it entirely. I'm going to ask Will and Terry to come forward and hand out the elements, please. And, of course, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. And while these are being handed out, please keep in mind verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. If you have anything in your life that you need to talk to God about, now is the opportunity to do this. Because it says, let him eat of that bread. Examine your hearts and talk to God about what you find there. Ask his forgiveness. Anyway, I'm going to read the whole thing. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Has everybody been served? We don't want to miss anybody. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents. It represents your body, Lord, that you freely gave to be broken, to be bruised, to be punished, to be offered as a sacrifice for us. Bless this bread, Lord, please. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. Lord, we thank you for the cup. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed on that cross for us. We thank you, Lord, for the cleansing that that blood does for us. Bless the cup, Lord, please. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago, for everything that you do, continue to do for us. I thank you, Lord, that you reached down into a miry pit and you pulled each one of us out. You sent from above, you took us, you drew us out of many waters, you delivered us from our strong enemy, from those who hated for us, for they were too strong for us. They confronted us in the day of our calamity, but you were our comfort. You delivered us because you delighted in us. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for for you, where would we be? Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for everything. Be with your people today, Lord. Bless everybody. Keep us safe and bring us back safely when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There will be no baptism service today. So, we can try again next week. Hey, that's going to keep people coming back, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a shout this morning? Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm loud, but I got a microphone. Everybody have a good day. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.